It is exactly that. I couldn't be more pumped to be here. What's up? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I am hyped up. We've got an amazing Wednesday show for you. Lots to get done. A ton to get done. Instead of three interviews, I've got four, and they're all good. Let's not waste any time. Let's get it right now. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Four interviews. Takes for days. I'm looking for a good phone call to set the whole thing off. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, as always, at Jim Rome. Email me. Hit me up right now, like this guy did. Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveAtake.com. Right off the very top, it's a tweet, at RoosterJones3. Jim, I finally caught the podcast just to hear Elk. Great interview in that free-form format. I have to check some of the other 29 episodes. I know I hit this hard yesterday, but I'm proud of this fact. For whatever reason, a lot of you did not find your way to the podcast until right now. It's like you were waiting on Elk or something. A lot of you found it for the first time, loved it, and said, damn, what have I been missing? I'm going to circle back and hit some of the other 29. Instead of doing that, circle back and hit all of the other 29. They're good. I'm really proud of the catalog. Find the podcast. Once again, I'll tell you a little bit later on how to do it if you don't know how to do it yet. If you don't want to wait for that, hit Hawk up right now. 1-800-636-8686. I'll tell you something funny about Elk. Elk texted me yesterday, and he said no less than 100 clones hit him up at Augusta. Clones were rolling up on him at the Masters to tell him they had heard the podcast and how hyped they were. All right, in terms of the interviews, it sets up like this. In 15 minutes, Dana White, UFC president, is my guest. There's your bat light, Joaquin. Dana White coming up in about 15 minutes. In hour number two, we're talking hockey, not just hockey, Vegas, Golden Knights hockey. Gerard Gallant, the head coach there. Also in the second hour, we're talking BYU football. Kalani Sitake joins me. We have him on every single year. In hour number three, Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer, Ray Allen. So those four interviews, and as I mentioned, takes for days. Get up in here. Phone number is toll free. I'll pay for it. 1-800-636-8686. All right, let's start with some baseball. In fact, why don't we start the program by jumping into the Wayback Machine? Let's jump into that Wayback Machine and go all the way back to March 29th, 2018. Now, to give you a taste of exactly what was going on back then, God's Plan by Drake was the number one song on the charts. Pacific Rim Uprising was tops at the box office. Gas was merely $2.65 a gallon nationwide. Oh, and Giancarlo Stanton hit a couple of home runs in his Yankee debut, and this guy was a god. That was then. Fast forward to yesterday. Stanton makes his home debut in pinstripes, and let's just say it did not go quite as well. Strikeout swinging in the first, strikeout looking in the third, strikeout swinging in the fifth, strikeout swinging in the seventh, and then this in the eighth.
Now here is Romo's 1-2. Struck him out swinging. Stanton has had a forgettable day. He's been up five times. He struck out five times.
Right. Five strikeouts, five at-bats. Let's be honest. Five Ks in your home debut is awesome if you're a pitcher, but terrible if you're a batter. I mean, that's a brutal way to open your account at home. But the platinum sombrero was not even the worst part of it. In fact, not even nearly the worst part of it. Not even close. To me, the worst part was the booing. Yes, Yankee fans were booing Stanton in his home debut on April 3rd. In a game, they won by 7 runs, and they were booing him. It is simultaneously the most absurd and most predictable thing ever. Yankee fans, gonna Yankee fan. And I've got one question. What the hell is wrong with you? No, let me rephrase that. What the hell is wrong with you losers? Now, I don't use that term lightly. I'm not looking to come in here and call anybody a loser. But if you booed Stanton last night, you are a loser. There are no two ways around this. If you boo a guy in his home debut, you're a loser. Now, I'm not going to try and tell you this guy had a great game yesterday. He didn't. He had a horrible day. Probably his worst day ever. But honestly, the way Didi Gregorius played, it didn't matter, which is the whole point. Stanton is 0 for 5, 5 punch-outs, and the Yankees still hang 11 on the opposition. So that's not a reason to boo. That's a reason to party. I thought Yankee fans, and I'm not grouping all of you under this one umbrella, but I thought Yankee fans were supposed to be great baseball fans. Because if they really were great baseball fans, they would know days like that happen for Stanton. They would know he averages more than a strikeout per game. That's a small price to pay for a guy who can hit 60 home runs and win the MVP. But if you boo him, you don't come across as a great baseball fan. You come across like an entitled loser. And the worst part is, I'm guessing these clowns would probably justify it by saying something like they felt like they had to keep up their reputation as Yankee fans. Or better, they were doing it to make him a better player. You know, like, I didn't want to boo the guy, but I felt like I had to, that it was my job in order to inspire him to greatness. If anything, he should be thanking me because I'm making him better. Philly fans booed Mike Schmidt, one of the greatest third basemen of all time. And not just once, by the way. Ask them why they did that. They'll tell you, because we wanted to make the guy better. They'll tell you they're the reason Schmidt is in Cooperstown, not Schmidt himself. So maybe Yankee fan is just trying to get Stanton his bust. Or maybe you're a loser. And you know, classy guy that he is, he was practically thanking them for killing him afterwards. Quote, "I was awful today. You put up a performance like that, you should get some booze." End quote. Gotta say, gee, I totally respect your opinion, but I agree to disagree. You may have been terrible yesterday. I mean, you were. But people booing you were even worse. You were trying to do your job. And if I had to guess, it's probably a pretty good chance that you were pressing because it was your debut in front of them. You were trying to make a good impression in your home debut. I mean, that'll happen. Nights like that will happen to almost anybody who's not Ted Williams or Tony Gwynn. The people who booed you are the ones who deserve to be booed. Look, the guy had 2 home runs in the season opener on Thursday. And when he did that, they were clearing space in Monument Park for him. Less than a week later, they're booing the same guy at home. It's freaking April 3rd. Listen, I get it if we're in August and he's been dogging it all year long. But if you're going to boo the guy, boo him based on effort, not on results. This early in the season, if we're more than 100 games in and this guy's not running out ground balls and he's waving weakly at bad pitches, then go ahead and crush him. But April 3rd, it's April freaking 3rd. In other words, what I'm saying is settle the hell down. And if you're booing this guy, man, get a grip, get a life, get a life. April 3rd. And Yankee fan, if you're going to come in here and say, "Rome, you just don't get it," I'm going to agree with you. That's my whole point. I just don't get it.
Get a grip.
Because you were deifying the same guy a week ago. 1-800-636-8686. Other topics. Baseball. Did you check out Shohei last night? That home run was so awesome. Absolutely awesome. I loved it. I can't get enough of it. The only thing better than his home run, than him jumping ship, was the reaction in the dugout after it happened. The non-reaction after it happened. I'll get into that later on. Also, Canelo Alvarez pulling out of the Triple G fight, the rematch for May 5th in Vegas. He's out. He's pulling out of it. Even more rich than that presser yesterday where he insisted that he was innocent and that he never knowingly or intentionally took clenbuterol and that it was tainted beef. Even richer than all of that was him coming in and then saying, "Hey, by the way, Triple G is afraid of me. That's what this is all about. The guy's afraid of me." Yeah, actually, Canelo, that's not what that's all about. That's got nothing to do with the Canelo. He wants to fight you. We all want to see the two of you fight. The reason we're not is because you cheat. Bumped up against some tainted beef in Mexico. No way. Even better, the guy had a doctor at the presser saying, look, there's a lot of that going on. There's a whole lot of that down there. This is not some one-off. There's plenty of that down there. Right. Which is why you don't want to train down there. Which is why you don't want to smash beef down there if you know there's a lot of that down there. Did you see the presser? Are you buying what he was selling? And now what? In football news, that's how busy we are today that I'm not leading with this. The Rams get another go-to player, Brandon Cooks. They trade him or for him, and they do a deal with the Patriots. So the Patriots give up another asset to get one in return. They get a first-round pick, and the Rams add another playbreaker. Man, they're all the hell in, aren't they? And I couldn't like it anymore. I'll break down that trade and who I think got the better of that trade. 1-800-636-8686. Masters preview. Man, takes for freaking days. Four interviews and takes for days. I'm going to break down the entire deal. Who I like at the Masters. Who I like to win at the Masters. And we'll have that for you. Email number one. Dear Jim, Yankee fans booing Stanton in his home debut is completely warranted. Regards, cashiers who ask you for your email, phone number, and Zodiac sign at stores. Mike in Buffalo. Man, that's the truth, isn't it? Is there anything more annoying than somebody asking you for your telephone number on a $12 purchase that you paid cash for? Can I get your telephone number? No. No? Why do you need my telephone number? You know, we got to put it in our system. Yo, I know why you need my telephone number, but why do you need my telephone number? No. No, can I have my deodorant, please? Telephone number is toll-free. You got it. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know where to find me on email. You know that when we come back, Dana White is going to be my guest. Gerard Gallant, next hour. Kalani Sitake, next hour. Ray Allen, in third hour. And open phones in around all that. Clones, how'd your night go? If you didn't sleep, it went pretty horribly. And how that goes. Or I used to know how that goes. I don't anymore. In fact, you don't have to know how that goes if you get yourself a revolutionary Zipa. Because probably snoring was what kept you up. Either you snore or the person next to you snores. Either way, neither one of you are getting the sleep you need. But that's all about to change with Zipa. You see, if you snore, you're not sleeping. If you're not sleeping, you're not succeeding. If you want success, you have to be at your best. Zipa is the solution to help you get the great night of sleep that you need so you feel great every single morning. It is the only snoring solution of its kind. If you snore, you need to get a Zipa. I want you to go to ZYPPAH.com. Easy to remember because Zipa is actually Happy Z spelled backwards. Go to Zipa.com right now and get yours. Remember, ZYPPAH, ZYPPAH, Zipa. Get the great night of sleep that you need and deserve with a Zipa.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
First thing I've got to get done right now is a conversation with Dana White, and we are efforting. That's going to happen momentarily. Meantime, Shohei. He jumped ship last night. And remember, coming out of spring training, the takes seem to be, man, this guy's just not all that. Nothing ever is, but especially this guy. The Japanese Babe Ruth, quote unquote. And then the expectations were tamped down considerably. And then the regular season starts, and this guy, I don't want to say he's going to live up to the hype because nothing ever will. I mean, quote, Japanese Babe Ruth. But he has been awesome. Awesome on the bump. Awesome with a bat in his hands. And last night was tremendous. In fact, I can't lie. I like that so much. I was so into what I saw and so into what I've seen so far. I'm going to get out to the yard this weekend and check it out myself. I've got to see this. I've got to see it for myself. So hopefully it doesn't rain here in SoCal, but I'm ready to roll. That was a tremendous moment last night. When he went in the dugout after he hit that home run, for a split second, it looked like maybe he didn't know what was going on, or maybe I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt, because even if for a split second he didn't know, he figured it out quickly and then went with the fake high fives. That was an amazing moment, I thought. So I'm going to break that down later on. Rams and Pats make their deal. I could not be happier with what the Rams are doing. I mean, if anybody could have sat back on their laurels, it was the Rams. If the Rams didn't do a damn thing this offseason, nobody would have said jack after the year they had last year. After the offseason they had last offseason, nobody would have said anything. They were so far ahead of schedule. Yet nobody's been more aggressive than the LA Rams. Big swing after big swing, and now they've taken literally everything they have, everything they own, and they've pushed it right to the center of the table. They're all freaking in. I mean, they're not in it to win it. They're in it to win it all, and they're in it to win it all right now. And I didn't see that coming. I could not be more impressed with the Rams because they understand. I mean, not only do they want to win, they understand, but you have to win in this town. You've got no shot to get anybody to come to your yard if you don't win in this town. And even winning in this town is not enough. You got to win a certain way. You have to win with stars. And the Rams know this, and they understand it. They hired a young head coach, star. They've got a quarterback who looked like he might be a bust, who's a star. And they've got playmakers on both sides of the ball, and they're doing everything they can to win right now. Everybody should, but not everybody does. And you have to do it in this town. As promised, we're joined right now by UFC president. And also, he's got a big event coming up, UFC 223. Habib V. Holloway, live from Brooklyn, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. My guest is Dana White. Dana, good morning. Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. How you doing?
Dana, I'm great. It's nice to have you back. Let me start with the card, Dana, for UFC 223. It had a pretty significant change. In fact, Dana, people thought that it was some sort of April Fool's joke when it was announced that Tony Ferguson was pulling out of the fight and being replaced by Max Holloway. How far from a joke was that for you? And Dana, did you have any laughs about that?
No laughs. I got the call early in the morning, got up, went to work, spent Easter at the office, you know, trying to get this thing figured out. But, you know, it was obviously a low of all the lows, but then we ended up leaving on a huge high. Being able to pull off a fight, you know, with the UFC featherweight champion stepping up on 6 days' notice. This guy's on a 12-fight win streak, hasn't lost in 5 years, has the most stoppages in UFC featherweight history, and people think that, you know, this is the grappler, you know, the grappler versus striker. You know why they think that? Because Holloway hasn't been taken down in 4 years. So to be able to put a fight like this in, it turned my Easter around.
Dana White joining us. Dana, I want to talk about that matchup, but to the point you just made. Now, Ferguson tore his LCL off his bone while on the media tour. So can you take me through the process? I mean, what happens from the time that you receive that injury news to then going to find a replacement, and not just a warm body replacement, but the featherweight champ, Max Holloway?
Yeah, it was. So we had heard a couple days before he tweaked his knee, but he says, I'm good. No matter what, I'm taking this fight. So then he went in and tried to roll around. He said, you know what, I'm going to get an MRI. Goes in, and I got the call Sunday morning that the MRI came back bad, that it was actually his LCL was torn from the bone. And normally that's not a surgery. You know, you just need like 5 or 6 weeks to let it heal up. He's actually going to need surgery. So it was the worst type of injury you could get. So that's Sunday morning, a week before the fight, and me and the matchmakers go into the office and, you know, you stare at the wall for hours and start throwing names around. And, you know, we came up with Max Holloway. We called him. He wanted the fight. Also, Brian Ortega accepted the fight too, the number one ranked guy in the world at 145. So we had a couple of great options. You obviously offer it to the champ first. The champ accepted, and here we are.
We're talking Dana White. So he takes that fight on very, very short notice. And as you point out, Dana, he's putting a streak on the line. Now, there are numerous reports that Holloway's got a lot of weight to lose before Friday's weigh-in. Do you have a sense of how much weight he has to lose? And is there any part of you that's worried that he might not make it?
No, not at all. I mean, I think you know, everybody likes to sensationalize stuff. At the end of the day, he usually cuts to 145. He's cutting to 155, mm-hmm. 10 pounds less. So I have no, when we talked to him too that day, they felt very comfortable with making the weight.
Dana White, my guest. All right, so the weight cut, it may or may not be a thing, right? But the thing that is a thing, of course, is he's going to have to deal with Habib once he gets in the cage. Habib is a monster, and when he gets opponent to the ground, and he can do some real damage. On UFC 223 embedded, he said he knows Holloway is a great striker, but, quote, I am going to take him down and smash him. So how does Holloway go about defending against that?
Yeah, for people that don't know, Habib is undefeated. He's 25-0, and it is impossible to go undefeated in this sport. This guy is the real deal. He's a beast. But funny, I think that Holloway is very underrated. Like the stats that I told you in the beginning, you know, the guy hasn't lost in 5 years, and his last loss was a decision to Connor. You know, Connor's out there knocking everybody out at 155. Holloway went to a decision with him. He's got the most stoppages in featherweight history, and he's an absolute beast, and I think he's completely underrated. But at the end of the day, Habib is a monster. It's just when you break this fight down, you look at the stats, it's awesome.
Dana, what about that? Let's flip that thing on its head for a minute. I mean, obviously, it's a huge challenge for Holloway to accept a fight like this on short notice, but how much does that change things for Khabib with his opponent changing from Ferguson to Holloway?
Absolutely. I think that he has to worry more about the striking. I think that, you know, when this thing did go to the ground, Tony's so good on the ground, but I think that Holloway is too. The problem is Holloway never gets there. He hasn't been taken down in 4 years. Think about that. Holloway has not been taken down in 4 years because he doesn't allow himself to get taken down. And in his last fight with Jose Aldo, he literally walked right through Jose Aldo. Like, he was too big and too strong for that division. And I think people are going to be surprised at how big he looks next to Khabib, too.
All right, so UFC 223.
Fight. It's an interesting fight. And obviously, if he wins, he's made it very clear he's the youngest two-belt champion. He'll hold two belts at the same time. The only guy to ever do it is Conor McGregor.
No, I was going to say that, Dana. If he wins, if he moves up and he wins on 6 days' notice and he holds two belts at the same time, where would that rank in terms of all-time achievements in UFC history?
Massive, especially since the opponent is Khabib. You know, especially, you know, the simple fact of who he is fighting and who he will do it to. And what I love about this guy, too, what I love about Holloway, like you just said, taking this thing on 6 days' notice just goes to show what a real fighter, what a real stud he is, and how much he believes in himself.
Dana White joining us. That fight's coming up this weekend. So, Dana, they're fighting for the lightweight title. Conor McGregor currently holds that belt. He will no longer hold that belt after Saturday. Have you had conversations with him about that? Do you have a sense about how he feels about losing that belt?
Yeah, obviously he's not thrilled about it. But, you know, Conor is a really smart kid. He understands. He hasn't fought in a year and a half. So, and he's talking about coming back in September. You just can't let the division sit around like that. It's not fair to everybody else. And, you know, I think Conor gets that.
Hey, Danny, he is talking about, and you said it best, talking about coming back in September. In your opinion, how interested is he? I mean, is that a matter of, yeah, I might be interested, or is he really serious about fighting this fall?
Well, we've been talking a lot lately, so I think the fact that division is moving on has lit a fire under him, and he wants to fight.
Do you think he will?
I do.
Dana White joining us. Dana, as we talked about before, you're a boxing guy. We know this. What do you make of Canelo Alvarez pulling out a next month's fight against Triple G and the reason he's given for it?
What was the reason he gave? It happened yesterday when I was jumping on a plane to New York.
Yeah, he's not changing. He's not coming off his story. He says it's tainted beef. He's never done anything intentionally. He's never tried to do this. He never looked for an edge. He just ran into some bad beef.
I think that, you know, I think he'd have to be consuming a ton of beef. I like Canelo, so I don't want to, you know, dog the guy. But at the end of the day, the reason he pulled out is because I think he knew what the outcome was going to be when he went before the Nevada State Athletic Commission. And you're better to pull out than have to go through that publicly. Probably pull out. They're still going to go after him and probably fine him and suspend him, I'm assuming. But it won't be a big circus now. And I'm sure that's why he did it.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think that's all true. And this way, they also saved the fight date for Triple G. He did say one more thing, Dana, while you were traveling at that presser. He'd made the point that Triple G is afraid of him. He thinks that's part of it, that he's afraid of him. I mean, that's pretty laughable, right?
Again, I like Canelo. Personally, I like him. He's a super nice guy. He didn't win that first fight. So I don't think Triple G is afraid of him. I actually think it's horrible the way that fight was judged. And, I don't think Triple G is afraid.
Talking to Dana White. Dana, one last thought. We can't talk boxing without talking about the possibility of Floyd fighting MMA. Now, for years, the Conor Floyd boxing match was talked about, and we thought it would never happen, and then sure enough, it happened. Could you see something similar happening with a Floyd MMA fight? Does money talk in this situation, Dana? And could this guy really step into the cage if the money was right?
Yeah, I think yes. I didn't think the first fight was going to happen, but I'd never dealt with Mayweather. All I'd ever seen from the outside was the stuff that went on with him and Arum and how they couldn't get the Pacquiao fight done. And then once I got in and started negotiating with these guys, they're actually smart guys. They're easy to deal with. And, you know, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It was much easier. So, yeah, I could see this happening.
So finally, Dan, if that happens, could he beat one of your better fighters? Could he beat a quality UFCer?
anybody can get caught on any given day, but I think it goes very badly for him.
UFC 223, I think so too, Dana. Habib and Holloway, it's live from Brooklyn Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. Dana, great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
You too. See you, Dana. Dana White. All right, so lots to talk about there. Always lots to talk about coming off an interview with Dana White. What do you make of what you just heard? Who do you like in the main event on Saturday night? Did you hear? Dana was into that. Dana was selling that hard. Hearing that, does that make you want to purchase that? And what do you think is going to happen? And Floyd, look, Floyd's a great businessman. Floyd is a smart guy. I mean, Floyd's a smart guy. Floyd understands business. He understands his brand. He knows how to make money. Floyd is not going to survive a minute in the cage against a quality UFCer. And that's not even a rap on Floyd. It's a different world. It's a different sport. There's no way that guy survives if it goes to the ground. And of course it would. Asking Conor to go into Floyd's world is not nearly as challenging as asking Floyd to go into Conor's world. Going back the other way, it's way more challenging. All right, so we're open now for about 50 minutes. Now is the time to call the show. 1-800-636-8686. Gerard Gallant. Next hour. Kalani Sitake, next hour. Hall of Famer Ray Allen in the third hour. This is the best time during today's show for you to call. I want to talk about the Rams and the Pats and the deal that they made. And I want to talk about Shohei's home run as well. All of that's still ahead, but first, here is a sports update for you.
The Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you don't want to wait for my take on Canelo and Triple G, go ahead, hit me up right now. It's a good thing Dana White does like Canelo, or he would have blew him up. I asked him two questions. He said, well, you got to know, I like the kid, but the excuse doesn't look great. I like the kid, but he did not win that first fight. Right and right. The excuse looks horrible, and he absolutely did not win that first fight, regardless of what he says. Rome, booing Stanton is so whack. At least throw in a heckle or two. For instance, like a hit the ball, strikeout boy. It's more my style. Yours, Boogie Cousins' favorite heckler.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby? Fat boy! Fat boy! Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
I was out on Friday night, I think, and Janet and I went to the market with the kids before going home. I was going down the ice cream aisle. I saw some ice cream sandwiches, I think, called Fat Boy.
Fat Boy!
Immediately went through my head. Fat Boy!
Fat Boy!
Fat Boy!
Fat Boy!
Fat Boy!
Fat Boy!
I was reaching for my phone so I could watch it again. Fat Boy!
Fat Boy!
That's my younger son Logan's favorite bite, other than getting fat, awkward.
Fat?
Awkward.
Fat Boy! Fat Boy!
Fat Boy!
I like the way that guy jumps in also with Krispy Kreme's Fat Boy.
Krispy Kreme, Fat Boy!
And again, my normal disclaimer, Boogie, it's not me. It's not me. I'm on your side. I don't want anything. I don't want to get on the wrong side of you, Boogie. These guys are going Fat Boy, not
fat
me.
Boy.
I don't know why. That makes me laugh every single time. What's good? Boogie, what's good? What do you mean, what's good? You're calling
boy?
The guy fat.
AD, what's good, baby?
Oh, actually, he didn't ask Boogie. He was concerned about what's good with AD. AD, what's up? What's up, AD?
AD, what's good, baby? What's good, fat boy?
Well, actually, he did ask fat boy what's good. What's good with all you?
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
I don't know what that is. I'm not about that. I'm not about going to the arena just to scream at guys. But every single time I hear that, that makes me laugh.
Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
That's also undefeated. Sex is undefeated, and the fat boy heckle is undefeated. That makes me laugh every single time,
fat
and I have
boy.
No idea why. I know why sex is undefeated. I have no idea why that makes me laugh.
Fat
every
boy.
Single time. That heckle is throwing a perfect game.
Fat
That's
boy.
Always going to be funny.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
That part's not as funny. It's kind of funny. But not as funny as the other guy.
Hey,
what's good, AD?
Boy,
what's good, baby?
For you.
All right, so we're less than a week into the season, and already the Shohei show has been pretty damn good. I'm talking about Shohei Ohtani. And if we are being honest, he did not have a very good spring. In fact, there was already that suggestion that instead of being the best thing ever, he may have been the most overhyped thing ever. Maybe dude could not actually pitch and hit in the majors both in this era of specialization. Because nobody can. At least that's how it looked. But now, a few games in, you can break out all the horrible Shohei puns that you want. Showtime. Show far, show good. Show many more to come. Listen, Thursday he made his debut as a batter. He singled on the first pitch he saw. Then Sunday, he made his debut as a starting pitcher. He gave up a three-runner in the second, but then he settled in. He went six innings. He struck out six. He set down 14 of the last 15, and he got the win. And then came his home debut last night. And in his first at-bat, at home, with two men on, this happened.
Here's the next pitch, and he lifts a high drive that's well hit into right center field. It is out of here! His first major league home run.
Credit KLAA Angels Radio. Best part of that home run, though. The best part was not the home run. It was not the trip around the bases. It's not how jacked he was as he rounded third. I haven't seen anybody that hyped after hitting a home run coming around third than my son Jake when he jumped ship in high school. That could knock the smile off his face. Same thing with Shohei. But even that wasn't the best part. The best part was the reception that he received when he got back to the dugout. The complete and utter lack of any reception when he got back to the dugout. The team breaks out that old ignore the home run hitter trick. And he gets in there, and for a second it looked like he didn't really get it. Or maybe he did, and he played along. But then he went right along with it by high-fiving invisible teammates, which was hilarious. Until he finally grabbed an actual teammate, and then the whole dugout broke out. I mean, it was such an awesome moment, and you could tell how much fun they were having with it, and you could tell how much they liked him in that moment. And then Mike Trout sent him out for a curtain call, and why not? He's now become the first American League player to start a game as a pitcher and homer as a DH since 1973, and he did it in his first week in the majors. You want some more history? He's the first non-pitcher to start an opening day and then start on the mound within the first 10 games of the season in nearly a century. Babe Ruth last did that in 1919. And let's get that part of it out of the way. He might be glossed, the Japanese Babe Ruth, but he's not Babe Ruth. Nobody is. The Babe was one of the best hitters ever. The Babe would have been one of the best pitchers ever. And the Babe was fueled up on steaks, cocktails, and the ladies. So Shohei is not that. Nobody is. But he looks like he's a freaky talent. Because it wasn't just about the home run. He added two singles. He went 3-for-4. He knocked in three runs. He had two runs scored. I mean, is that any good? It's great. I can answer that. It's great. And his third hit of the game was a line drive single in the eighth that was clocked at 112.8 MPH by StatCast. That was the hardest hit ball by any Angel player so far this season. As manager Mike Socha said, quote, Shohei put on a display of the type of talent that he has tonight. He showed the power. He showed the ability to just square up a baseball. And he had a great night for us, end quote. And to me, best of all, this guy did this. He did it taking his first at-bats in 5 days. How is it possible to just lock in like that after throwing six innings and not taking any at-bats for a few days? I mean, I've got no idea. And I've got no idea how long it's going to last. I just know that I've got to see it myself. And that's exactly what I'm going to do this weekend. I'm going to head out to the stadium to see the Angels and the A's because this dude is putting on a show and I don't want to miss it. I thought that was just so awesome. That home run was great, and the reaction was even better. Did you see it? What'd you think about it? Could this guy live up to the hype? Rome, our Rams keep on ramming it, and Ohtani fever is at its peak. Let's get lit!
It's lit!
We deserve this. SoCal deserves the best, so we get the best. John in Huntington Beach. War La Habra getting kicked out of Orange County. Bro, I don't know too much about La Habra. Why La Habra? If you're going to kick somebody out of the OC, why La Habra? Hey, bro, I like HB, but why not your town? What do you got against? What do you have against La Habra? Hey, lay that out, John. What did La Habra ever do to you? Tustin didn't want any of that. I wish they would, man. Tustin put a beat down on University High School yesterday. I went out to the Ryan Lemon tournament. Did not go well. So if you want to kick somebody out of the OC, take Tustin. They laid a beat down on our boys. Yorba Linda did not want any of that. How about Fountain Valley? How would you like to get your ass kicked out of the OC, Fountain Valley? Santa Fe Springs, not good enough. Do better. You can do better than that. Seal Beach, what a sorry-ass excuse for a beach. You wish you were HB, Seal. Brea, what are you looking at? Rossmore. Westminster, you're Rossmore's bitch. You know it. The West Ham. La Habra. What did La Habra ever do to anybody? Dear Jim, also an email. We thought it was absolutely hysterical when Shohei hit that first big league bomb and his teammates played the outrageously funny gag where they failed to acknowledge him when he returned to the dugout. Rib ticklingly yours, whoopee cushions, peanut cans containing spring-loaded snakes, and offering a handshake, but quickly whisking your hand away to slick your hair back. That's all funny. Denless, parachute packer. But not as funny as an adult getting on all fours behind another adult, and then a third adult rolling up on the second adult and pushing him in the chest as hard as he could over the dude that's on all fours. And it's only funny when adults do it, not kids. War Alvin. Oh, what do you know? I didn't even read the war. War Alvin sneaking up behind you on all fours at the company picnic as Hawk shoves you backwards into the shrubs. It would be funny. It would be funny. Rome, Stanton struck out 5 times in 1 day. You know what I call that? A great day at work. Signed, Hawk. Tony in Albuquerque. If Hawk knew who Stanton was. Gerard Gallant coming up next hour. Let's go to Indio. Mario in Indio. Here in California. Mario, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. I was at the game yesterday. Wow. It was just rocking. I haven't felt like that since 2002 World Series. And it is showtime. He is the real deal.
Hey, Mario, you're right. Thanks a lot, Mario. Good talking to you. I was at the game guy jumping in there. That's all right. Yeah, I was at the game and it was loud. I was at the game and it was rocking. Hey, listen, if you want to compare it to 2002, it's a little bit too soon to do that because that stadium has never been like that before or after. 2002 was a magical year. Little too soon to be comparing it to that, but that joint was rocking. That was fun. Hey, like I said, I've got to get out there this weekend myself and see what that's all about. Speaking of the weekend, I've got my full Masters preview. I'm going to break that thing down. It's been an amazing golf week. I said at the very top of the show that I've had more people hit me up on Twitter and email saying, Rome, I've heard you talk about it. I haven't found my way to that podcast, but I finally had to do it this week because Elk was on it. Damn, that was good, Rome. Now I'm going to go back and listen to some of the other 29. Hey, do me a favor. Go back and listen to all the other 29. Again, on that podcast, I won't belabor the point, there are interviews there that I could never, ever do here. They're too long, they're too profane, they're too edgy, they just would never work on terrestrial radio. So you want to check that out. You definitely want to check out Elk. And as I mentioned, Elk hit me up yesterday and said, mate, Jim, mate, the clones are everywhere, mate, at Augusta. They're all coming up to me. They all heard the podcast. I said, how many? He said, no less than 100, mate. And that's Tuesday at Augusta. Also, my thoughts on the Rams and the Pats. I already told you what I thought about Yankee fan booing Stanton. If you did that, and I don't throw this word around at all, I'm not here to call anybody a loser. If you're booing this guy in his debut, you're a loser. Yeah, he had a bad day. It might have been his worst day ever. But if you know as much about baseball as you think you know or say you know this guy is going to have days like that. He's averaging more than a strikeout per game. Pretty fair trade-off for a guy who hits 60 home runs and wins the MVP award. April 3rd, y'all. April 3rd. Open phones next segment. And then we go back-to-back with Gerard Gallant and Kalani Sitake. Ray Allen in hour number three. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.
It was just rocking.